else. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 16. Acts, chapter number 16. I want to say that I have thoroughly enjoyed these services. I appreciate the liberty I have had to preach. You don't find that everywhere you go. And that is a blessing. And I know the reason why. It has mostly to do with the pastor and his preaching. I appreciate the fellowship we were able to have today as we ate some dinner together. I want to encourage you to hold up the hands of God's man. Pray for him as he leads this congregation. Don't fall out with him, just fall behind him. Encourage him, encourage his family. God called him. He didn't call his wife and children. They don't handle things like the man of God does. So you be good to them, and God will be good to you. But I appreciate your hospitality for the accommodations, what has been received. It has been in my heart to help and to be a blessing in these services. That has been my intention. And I hope in some way your life has been challenged and helped. But we have one more service. I'm looking forward to what God has in store for us. If you're willing and able, would you stand as we read a familiar story? I'm not going to read the entire text tonight. I just want to pick out four verses that are used to describe Paul and Silas and their jailhouse experience. Beginning in verse 23, the Bible said, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge," you see, if they escaped, his life would be accountable. His life would have been taken. "Thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." Then in verse 34, "And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." Then in verse 40, "And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed." You can be seated tonight. There are three different houses that are mentioned in the verses that I have read to you tonight. verse 23 and verse 24 describe for us the prison house where Paul and Silas were bound in their stocks and their bonds. Verse number 34 describes for us the Philippian jailer's house where Paul and Silas are taken by the jailer to sit down at his table and eat a meal. And then there is the purple seller's house, the house of Lydia. And there Paul and Silas resort to meeting the brethren before they continued on their preaching journey. Three different houses. And with that thought in mind, I want to preach tonight on the Lord is still making house calls. The Lord is still making a house call. Some of you may be old enough to remember a time when a doctor or a physician would come to your house to see about your physical well-being. This younger generation knows nothing of that. All we know about is going for an appointment and you might get to see the doctor in 2 hours. You may not. But tonight, I'm glad the Lord is still making house calls. In fact, I remember that night when the Lord made a call to my house and he dealt with my heart about my sins and he saved me by his marvelous grace. And many of you can testify to that blessed day when the Lord come to you and showed you your lost condition and you bowed with repentance in your heart, faith toward Christ, and God delivered you from your sin. I'm glad the Lord still makes house. I want to look at these three houses tonight and apply some truths that are real in all of our lives. Let's look at this prison house tonight. There are three things that can be seen from this prison house experience. Number one, we find that the praise of the servants is being rendered. The Bible said there in verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and murmured and complained and grumbled. No, the Bible said that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to their God. And the prisoners heard them. Tonight in that prison house, the Lord paid a visit. The servants of God were rendering praise and adoration to their God.
And tonight, surely, when things go as well as they go for us, we ought to be able to come to His house and freely and willingly and voluntarily lift our voices in adoration for God's goodness and grace bestowed upon our life. I say hallelujah tonight. There ought to be some worship. There ought to be some adoring. There ought to be a show of appreciation for what the Lord has done for us. They were in their stocks and in their bonds. Their backs were bleeding from the 39 lashes they had received. Every movement brought pain and agony. But I'm glad they were not focused on their pains. They were not pouting about their situation, but they were praying and singing praise unto their God. And tonight, surely, in the environment of the church house, God's children ought to be able to lift up their voice and sing to the glory and the honor of their God. The Lord's still making house calls. But there's a second thing. We find that the power of the sovereign is a rumbling. The power of the sovereign is rumbling. You say, now, preacher, where would you find that? Well, look in verse number 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. That's the presence of the Lord. That is God's manifested power rumbling through that prison house. And this evening, when God got on the scene, He began to open up things that were closed. He began to break loose things that bind. And tonight, I'm here to tell you, we need to get our loved ones and our lives around the presence of a holy God. For when He manifests Himself, He goes to opening doors and He goes to breaking bonds. I'm glad He can deliver folks from their hate and their malice. He can set the captive free from their sin. I'm glad the Lord is still making house calls tonight. There's a third thing. I'm talking about the prison house tonight. Not only is the praise of the servants being rendered and the power of the sovereign a rumbling, but thank God the passion of the Savior is still reaching. Do you remember when the Lord went to reaching for you? I wasn't reaching for Him. He come reaching for me. You say, preacher, where do you find that? Well, we find that in that old Philippian jailer. He awakens at the rumbling of the earthquake. He knocks the sleep out of his eyes. He sees the jail doors open, and he supposes that every prisoner has fled. There is nothing else for him to do but to take his own life, for his life would be held accountable for any prisoner who escaped. Paul could have remained silent. Paul could have said, oh boy, as cruel and wicked as you've been, as heartless and merciless as you have shown to us, you deserve to die. He could have remained silent, but I'm glad as he drew back that knife, Paul cries out, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. And he said, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That was the passion of the Savior, reaching that old jailer. And tonight, aren't you glad for that old time Holy Ghost conviction that got the squeeze in your heart and dealing with your life? The Lord went reaching for you. The Lord embraced your heart and gone to drawing you to himself. I'm glad the Lord is still making help. But there's a second house. There is the Philippian jailer's house. Verse 34 says, and when he brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. I'm glad the Lord paid a visit down to the jailer's house. You'll find that down at his house, that's where the hungry are being nourished. The Bible said that he set them, or set meat before them. Now, I'm going to tell you, that beats prison rations all to pieces. If they got bread and water, they were utterly blessed in the prison house. But the word meat indicates that they had a fully cooked meal. They had a spread on the table of that jailer's house. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad the Lord's still making house calls? Boy, there have been times I've come to the house of God and I've been hungry. I've been weary. I'm a dragging my feet. But I'm glad when I get there, there's a table spread. There's nourishment. There's strength. There's renewal. There's help for your life. Oh, tonight, aren't you glad the Lord is still making house? Where you can get nourished and strengthened. Well, there have been times I've come to church and physically I didn't think I could put one foot in front of the other. And about that time, some saint would stand up striking fire and glorifying God for what the Lord had done in their life, praising Jesus for the salvation of their soul, or answering to their prayer. And I'm here to tell you, business went to picking up. It's as if the Holy Ghost set me down at the table, said, take you a pick of whatever you want. Here's something to nourish you and strengthen you. And tonight the hungry are nourished down at the jailers. There's another thing. It is also where the hurting are nursed. Look what he said in verse number 33. And he took them the same hour of the night and wash their stripes. Now I want you to get the picture tonight. These boys were hurting. I ain't never been lashed with a whip, but they got 39 stripes. Can you imagine what their backs look like? Or even felt like. They were in excruciating pain. The blood had clotted and dried their tattered garments into every wound. And every time they would move, those garments would open those wounds and pull at those sores and those bloody wounds. But I'm glad the jailer took them down to his house. And the Bible said he washed their stripes. The word wash there, there's a couple of words in the Greek language for wash. One means a little sponge bath, wash. That's not the word here. It means a full wash. It indicates he poured water on their backs to loosen those tattered garments and to wash out those putrefying wounds. He was trying to bring about healing. He was trying to promote help to Paul and Silas and their wounds. Aren't you glad tonight down at the house of God, that's where you can bring your wounded heart. That's where you can bring your aching soul. And the balm of Gilead can be poured in. And God can give you healing. God can give you help. Oh, you say, preacher, my children have turned away. I'm disturbed at their life. My hopes are dashed. Tonight you can bring that to the Lord. He's got some water to wash those wounds. Tonight you may be hurting because of other situations, but I'm glad the Lord's still making help. Yeah. Where the hurting are nursed. Today, people get wounded in the church house. Sometimes they're wounded by other church members. Sometimes we're disappointed in the lives of those we had confidence in. And our hearts ache and hurt because they have fallen by the wayside or they have forsaken their post of duty. But I'm glad tonight the Holy Ghost can promote healing. He can pour in the water and wash out all of that pus, all of that infection, all of that that's going to bring about defeat and discouragement. I'm glad he can promote healing and help for your life. Hey, you may have been hurt by a husband or a wife, a son or a daughter, a church member or a preacher. You may be hurt on your job, but I'm glad the Lord's still making house calls tonight. There's a third thing. It's where the humiliated are nobled. Now, the way that jailer treated Paul and Silas at his house is entirely different as to how he treated them at the jail. At the jail, they were nothing but dirt. He had no heart. He had no compassion for their welfare. He thrust them into the inner prison. He didn't care if they fell on their wounds. He didn't care how much they ached in pain. All he was interested in was to fulfill his duty.
Yes, that's so true.
Carry out his hourly work and then return home. But I'm glad between that time and the time they got down to his house, something had happened in that old boy's heart.
Yeah, that's right.
Hallelujah. He had met the Lord, gotten saved, and when he got down to his house, he didn't have the same attitude toward them two preachers like he used to have. I know some men who used to cuss the preacher and didn't want him to come to their house because they were in their sin. But I've seen the same men, God's grace reach down and deliver and bring them into the family of God. Now the man of God they hated, they love him with all their heart. The man of God they cussed, now they're praying for him and holding his hands up to the Lord. I say hallelujah tonight. The humiliated are noble. Now the Lord has allowed me to travel to a lot of areas in my lifetime. I'm just a little old one horse preacher.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm a nobody tonight. I'm amazed at what God has done in my life. But several years back, you know, time has a way of changing things, but when I first began, a lot of times people wanted you to come into their house and eat a supper with them. And that's fine. But I understand nowadays things are so busy. I accept all that. That's fine. But I can remember going in people's houses.
Yeah.
And you know what they'd do? They'd say, "Preacher, come on in here." We'd get in there to the dining room and they'd say, "Now, preacher," the husband or the wife, one would say, "We want you to sit right up here at the head of the table." And my question was always, is that where somebody else sits, or usually, or is that where the husband sits, or someone special? And they may say, "Yes, but we want you to sit there tonight." And I'd refuse, and they wouldn't take no for an answer. "We want you to sit right here at the head of the table."
Yeah.
You know what they're doing? They're showing respect and reverence.
Yes.
They were trying to honor the man of God. When they come to that jailhouse, they were cussed and cruelly mistreated. But when they sat down at that jailer's house, he set them right down at the head of the table. He said, "Boys, this is where I usually sit. And y'all eat all you want to eat." He lifted them up to the place of respect and honor that they ought to acquire. And tonight there are times when you labor on your job and you have to face hell by the acre, and they cuss and they ridicule you for reading your Bible at break time or slipping off to the bathroom to pray. They make fun of you for going to revival meeting, and they make fun of you for going back home Sunday night. But I'm glad when you get to the house of God, he sets you down at the head of the table. He makes you feel like you are somebody. And by the way, you are somebody tonight. You're one of his youngins, and he cares about you. This whole world may cuss you. This whole world may ridicule you. But I'm glad the Holy Ghost knows how to pull you, pull out the seat at his table, set you down, make you feel important and significant in the family. The Lord's still making house calls. Number three, the purple seller's house. Paul and Silas entered her house, and there they met the brethren and were comforted before continuing on their journey, there in verse number 40. I want to say something about
the events that occurred that brought about the saving of this purple seller by the name of Lydia. You see, the providence of God was involved in her saving. It was no coincidence that she was down by the river wanting to hear truth. And God sent Paul and Silas to preach down by the same river. She heard the gospel and got saved. And by the way, it wasn't no accident that you decided to come to church that Sunday morning when you had no intentions of going there to begin with.
Thank you, Lord.
But I'm glad the Lord is still making house calls.
Thank you, Lord.
She is from Thyatira. That's about 300 miles or 400 miles from Macedonia, from Philippi of Macedonia. Paul and Silas have come from Antioch. Some 200 miles, they have traveled in the opposite direction. She coming from Thyatira, Paul and Silas coming from Antioch. And they meet in Philippi, there in Macedonia. If you read the first part of this chapter, Paul and Silas want to go somewhere else. They intend to go in another direction, but the Holy Ghost would not give them liberty. And Paul sees a vision of a man over in Macedonia bidding them to come over and help us. Help us. I believe that's that jailer crying out tonight. But I'm glad God sent them to Philippi.
Yeah.
God brought them together. Now I want to just go on public record and say it just been as easy for God to have sent Paul and Silas all the way to Thyatira and knocked on her residence and preached to her the gospel if the Lord had chosen to do it that way. But he didn't choose to do it that way. He chose to bring her all the way from Thyatira to Philippi and then bring his two missionary preachers to Philippi and allow them to meet down by the river. Now, if you think that's coincidental or haphazardly a meeting, I've got some ocean front property in Arizona. I'll sell to you at a good price. That was the hand of God working on both ends. I want to give a personal example, and I'm fixing to close here in just a few minutes. God saved me when I was 9.5 years old. First Friday night in August of 1964. I'm a fixing to have a birthday spiritually. And for all y'all that ain't good at math, I'm 53. I know I don't act like it, but I'm 53. God saved me. I remember that night. The joy, the fear that came on me. I was afraid I was going to die and go to hell.
Bless him, Lord.
I mean, I stood over there. I knew that night if I died, I was going to hell. And it scared me to death. Said, I don't believe that. Well, John Newton did. He said, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear.
Yeah, that's right.
And the same grace my fears relieved.
Yeah, that's right.
You sing it about every Sunday.
Yeah.
Bless him, Lord. Thank you.
But shortly after I got saved, I can't tell you how old I was, but I know it happened. I remember it like it was yesterday. I slept in a twin bed. I remember waking up in the night, and I used to, as a little boy, before I ever got saved, I used to think what it'd be like to get old and die. It'd scare me to death.
Yeah, but I saved
all. I didn't know what was out there. But after I got saved, I ain't never worried about that again.
Yeah, that's right.
It's going to be all right. The Lord woke me up that night. And I had an urge, Brother Jeff, to read in the Bible. I can remember going and getting my mama's black Zondervan Bible, 5x8 Bible, about 2 inches thick. I took that Bible into the living room, went over to the left side of the couch, turned on that gold lamp, sat down on the couch and began to look through the table of contents to find out what I was needing to read in the Word of God. I looked through the Old Testament contents, I looked through the New Testament contents, and I spied the book of Ephesians, and I turned there. I thought maybe the Lord wanted me to read the entire book of Ephesians. But now I know none of y'all have ever done this in school. But I never was much for reading when I was young. Now I've changed. But I wasn't much for reading. And every time I'd get a library book, I always wanted to know how many pages was in the book before I checked it out. And if there's over 125, I had a certain urge that I didn't want to check that book out. And I turned, and I seen how many pages. And there's about 10, 15 pages. I can remember thinking, well, I can't read all that. I'm just a little boy. And about that time, chapter 3 and verse number 8 come to mind. As far as I know, I'd never read it in my life that I knew of. But I turned to it. And Brother Jeff, it says, unto me, who am the least of the least, is this of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to the Gentiles. I read that one verse out of all the verses in the Bible. I read that one verse. That one verse. Closed my Bible. Turned that lamp off. Went back to my twin bed. Laid down and went to sleep. And never thought a thing about it. Until later on in my teenage years, when God got to dealing with me about preaching His Word. And the Holy Ghost reminded me about that night when I couldn't sleep, and He woke me up and wanted me to read out of the Word of God, and He directed me to read one single verse out of the Bible, and it dealt with preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. Call that a coincidence if you will. Call that just a happening if you will. I call it the hand of God. I call it the providence of God. You're not here by mistake. You didn't just wander in. You just didn't stumble in off the road. Hey, God's got His hand. Every time we come and assemble, He's working behind the scenes. I'm glad the Lord is still making house calls. Would you stand tonight while they get a song of invitation? Some of you may be hurting tonight. Maybe you're wounded. Maybe someone has disappointed you. Someone has cut your heart to the quick. And you're wounded tonight. Why don't you come and let the Lord pour in some water? Why don't you let Him pour in some healing ointment? There is still some balm in Gilead tonight.
The Lord is still making house calls. You may be here tonight lost and undone without a Savior. You're not here by accident. No. His hand is behind it all. I'd come to Him tonight. He's dealing with your heart. I don't know where you're at tonight, but I'm glad the Lord's here. He's still making house calls. Would you listen to His voice while we sing some song?
Page 373.
God speaking to you.
Ask me not.
Would you listen to His voice?
Savior,
it's where the hungry are nourished. It's where the hurting are nursed. Some of you hurting tonight. Why don't you bring those hurts and those wounds to the Lord? Bow before Him. Ask Him to pour in some water. Wash those wounds out so that healing can take place.
Savior,
He's speaking to you tonight. Amen. He's speaking to you tonight. You're not here by accident. God didn't. You're not just in your family by accident. God's got a hand in all of that tonight. I'd listen to Him. He's speaking to your heart. He's still making house calls tonight. Would you listen to His voice? If you're here tonight and you're not saved, hey, the Lord loves you tonight. He cares about your life. He's a squeezing on your heart. I listen while He's a touching you. Come on tonight.
Pass me by.
Amen.
Said we can't do it this Saturday, we can't do it that Saturday, we kept going
tell them that you're lost. I know there's some people in here. You said you're lost. You ain't going to hear a better message than this. There won't be a better time to be saved. The Bible said today's the day of salvation. Harden not your heart.
Yeah.
How long are you going to play games with God? It's not a coincidence you're here. It's not a coincidence that Brother Steve preached this message.
Bless him, Lord.
That's what the devil wants you to believe tonight. I'm trying to say a lot of things for you to stir me up. I wish I had normal voice to get a little louder. Now I want to say one more verse. If you're here tonight, you know somebody that's lost. You've been praying for them. It wouldn't hurt to pray again.
Amen.
You can get a prayer through somebody that needs to be praying for the lost and have the burden to see somebody saved.
Amen.
If you're here tonight and you're lost, you need to thank God that you've given an opportunity and take Him up on His offer tonight and come and sit in Jesus' presence.
Oh,
well, let's see what happens. Why don't we sing one more verse tonight? I said, everything's on my heart tonight.
Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Who am I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but
miss. We all need to be back down here. Comes down here pretty.
Let's pray for him. Pray for his family. Pray for his church. Let's start remembering these lost tonight. This leaders. Turn the Lord away. You know who you are, not you, Judge. There's probably some here tonight that wants me to believe they've been saved. I've never seen that happen. I mean, I'm just being true. I ain't been nothing, but I'm just being true. I've had some come up and say, oh, you ain't got to worry about me, because I've been saved. I just ain't seen much out of them. And there's some that don't try to hide. They'll let me know right up front. They ain't never been saved. Never got God before. And I'm glad God's still merciful with you. And then there's some. Brother Joel, they don't got to say nothing. I can feel it. I know they got the stuff that it's going to take to get to heaven.
Right, brother.
I appreciate these meetings that we're
having. Lord.
Yeah, I sure appreciate you coming tonight. You got anything else you want to say? I'm going to ask Brother Steve if he will. I don't know what he is hanging out there. He might go out this door. I'm going to ask him to come down front. Stand. His wife's not with him, so I'll stand down there with him. I'm going to shake your hand when you come by. They know how much you appreciate his messages. You can't come around and shake his hand and look in his eye and tell him you enjoyed it. That right there tells me the message hit home.
Right.
If you come around, take him by the hand. Be real easy. One get up here, just approach out and need to pray.
Amen.
I'll be right here. So I'm going to just drop back in my altar. And let him know how much we appreciate it. Get you a song ready, Brother Nick. You want to go down the wall over here, come around this feet, dismiss what made a couple quick announcements on here. The choir will be singing tomorrow night to Clay Road. Everybody be there tomorrow at 7:30. Pray for Steve Clay, to be preaching. And preach the Bible over all week. So let's pray for him. And don't forget Brother Jason to be filling in for me Sunday morning. Sunday night, you support him. Pray for him. Be excited about that. And then got Vacation Bible School. Next week, but the next week. And splitting those 2 weeks, Brother Randy will be reviving that Black Hawk. And we're going to carry our church service over there to be with them. About 10 minutes, maybe from here, 15 minutes. We're going to go over there as a church. So remember that. And let's just be praying for one another. The Lord brings us together again. Get a verse of song.